want to draw your attention. If I were to say, who's the doubter in Scripture? What would you say? Did you know the word doubt and Thomas are never together in Scripture? But I'm fine. We just sort of gave it to him. He makes one mistake in his life. And now he's doubting Thomas for eternity. Did you know this about Thomas? If you have your Bible, turn to John 11. I want you to see this, John 11. Before we throw him underneath the bus and back over him a couple times, I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number, this is John chapter 11, verse number 6, and when he had heard therefore that he was sick, this is speaking of Lazarus, he abode there 2 days still in the same place where he was. Verse 7, then after that he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now watch. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? So understand the atmosphere. You're going to go back to Judea. We're going to get stoned there. You're going to get stoned. Well, notice verse number 14. Then Jesus said unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, Thomas thought Lazarus had been killed. Watch. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also that we may die with him. Thomas is ready to go and die for Christ. He's brave. He's not a doubter here. He said, look, they've already killed Lazarus. Let's go. We'll die too. But we'll stand up for Christ. That guy is the one we call Doubting Thomas. So I want you to understand today that there is a fluctuation in our hearts between doubt and faith. Now I want to take the word doubt a little bit and just sort of by way of introduction, three primarily original words for the word doubt. Number one, diakrino, krino is to judge, and dias to judge through. So this is a person that is a critical thinker. Now we sort of think that a critical thinker is a good thing, but critical thinker comes to the point where he's thinking about this, and he's thinking about that, and he's thinking through this, and he's thinking through that, and he's doubts. Can't come to a conclusion. Diakrino, just can't figure it out. Now, I can give you the passage. If you were to take Mark 11 real quickly, just turn there and you'll see it. Mark 11. I want you to see this passage, Mark 11, very quickly. Notice with me, if you would, Mark 11, verse number 23. You'll notice he says in verse 22, he says, have faith in God. Verse 23, he says, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Any of that ever been us? Would we ever have a doubt about our prayers getting answered? Or a doubt about us being able to pray through? We are smart people, so we are critical thinkers. Well, if I pray, is God really going to listen? And if God listens, is he willing to answer? And so we cause ourselves to doubt that prayer even works. Doubt. Are we a doubting David? Notice number two, diastazo. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Now, this is the word for double-minded. It's a conflicted thinker. We have a critical thinker. Now, we have a conflicted thinker. Notice with me, if you, Matthew 28. And notice, if you would, in verse number 17. Matthew 28, 17. Then the 11 disciples went away into Jesus, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Is that really Jesus? Anybody ever had the old devil sit on your shoulder and ask you, and you got to thinking, and you had two complete thoughts. I'm in church, but I wonder if God is real. Doubting David. That is a critical thinker, a conflicted thinker. And the last one is, if you have your Bible, turn to Acts 10:17. And this is a confused thinker. Notice, if you would, Acts 10:17. Now, you got to realize that here Peter has been taught his whole life, don't eat anything, don't touch anything that's unclean. And you'll notice in verse number 17. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, the Lord's trying to teach him that the Gentiles are people that need to be saved. And he thought only the Jews should be saved. And now the Lord's working in his heart, and he's got doubt in his heart, and he is totally confused. Lord, my whole life I've been taught that only the Jews are going to get saved, and now you want the whole world to be saved? And so God gives him this vision, and he comes in, and about the time he's all confused, the knock on the door comes, and it's Cornelius, his friends, and his servants who come and said, the Lord told us to come, you come tell my boss about the Lord. And he says, okay, I got it. As all of a sudden the confusion went away. So you've got a critical thinker. I think we've all been there. And then you've got a conflicted thinker. We've all been there. And then you got your confused thinker. You just have no clue as which way to go. Totally perplexed. Well, now, understand this. And then there's one more step. And that's little faith. No faith. Now, the word faith, pistos, is the word for being persuaded. What I want to encourage you today is this. I want to persuade you today that the Lord is real, and that the Lord loves you, and that the Lord is alive and well, so that you can have contentment in your heart and not confusion in your soul. I want to encourage you today, because in our society today, everything is up in the air. I mean, how many of you have seen the CDC change their guidelines on what is safe and not safe? I mean, you know, it's back and forth and back and forth. And I just read an article yesterday that there was an airplane with 300 people on it, and they did social distancing and all wore masks, and there were six on the plane that had COVID that they had tested when they got off, and they quarantined them all before they got on, or some form, I couldn't tell which one it was, but they all tested. They kept them separate. They kept them 6 feet from everybody else and kept their masks on. And at the end of the 14 days, they tested everybody again, and there were seven that had it. And they tracked it down that somebody had gone to the restroom, and somehow they had gotten in the restroom, and somehow they had gotten it. That's the only thing they could think of. And so now 6 feet doesn't work. And now mask doesn't work. And now, you know, you touch things and it doesn't work. You don't know what to believe. It's all up in the air. Well, I want you to understand that here is the disciples' lives. For 3 years, they walked with Jesus. They saw him raise the dead and Lazarus. They saw him heal the sick and the blind man and the blind Bartimaeus. They watched him do anything. They watched him speak to the wind and the waves, and they obeyed. They were absolutely blown away at the might and the power of the great Jesus Christ, the God of heaven. And they said, you are the God of heaven. They believed. They put their trust in him. And he said to them, now I'm going to have to go to the cross, and I'm going to have to die for the sins of the world. And Peter said, oh no, you're not going to do that. You're our king. And he rebuked him. And the Lord Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. That's Satan's thought. I came to die. Now all the disciples are sitting there. If he's going to die, how can he be our Messiah? They're just confused. We have to be very careful that we don't let the old devil confuse us. Now, when you notice, so then, if you have your Bible, the original passage, John, chapter number 20, and I want you to see this, as Jeremy read it. This is what I want to encourage you to have. Verse number 20, when he said, and so said, if you notice verse 19, Jesus had come in the evening time, the very last phrase of it says, peace be unto you. He's trying to give them a calm in their soul, a contentment in their soul. So he says, peace to them. Notice verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. So he gave them evidence that it was him. And then you notice, if you were at the last part of it, verse number 21, then Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. I want you to have peace in your heart this morning. No matter what's going on around you, I want you to know that your God is real and that he loves you and he's going to answer your prayers if you'll walk with him. And it only takes a little bit of faith. It doesn't take this gigantic George Mueller kind of faith that we think of, which I don't think George Mueller had this gigantic faith. Compared to mine it is, but I think he looked at it and just had a little bit of faith too. He just began to learn the Lord and to know the character of God and know God keeps his promises. And I just want to encourage you today, God keeps his promises. So you'll notice in this passage, in verse number 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now I want you to see a few things about Thomas. Number one, he was crippled spiritually. He was crushed. He watched Jesus die on the cross. I would imagine he heard him say, Father, forgive them. Into thy hands commend I my spirit. It is finished. And Thomas was crushed. And he walked away and said, all my dreams are over. Anybody ever been like that? You lose a job or you have a relationship issue and, oh, all is lost. I want you to understand today that with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's never all lost. When you go to the doctor and they say, I'm sorry, you have cancer, it's not all lost. The Lord is with us. The Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord says, I will strengthen you. And the Lord says, you just need a little faith. Don't be confused. Don't be critical. But be trusting. Say, Lord, I know you. And Thomas got to the point, he just got crippled because he saw physical evidence that Jesus died, but he forgot the proofs that Jesus had given. Notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn, if you would, Luke 24. Luke 24, if you would. Look at this. Now, Jesus had done this previously. But he had to do it over and over again. And I'm going to ask you a question in just a minute. But notice, if you would, this is Luke 24, 44. But I want you to see, if you would, in verse number, this is verse 36. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now, Luke records more of what went on when Thomas was not there the first time. Notice, verse 37, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed they'd seen a spirit. He said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts rise in your heart? Why are you conflicted in your mind? Notice, look here, verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see. In verse 41, while they yet believed not, there's the word, without faith. They were so excited, but they just couldn't believe it. Now you'll notice what he does. Look here. Verse 44. He said unto them, these things are the words which I spake unto you. I've already told you this, but listen again. While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. You and I must pray for the Lord to give us understanding for the things we've already heard Everybody in this room has heard enough scripture to know that the Lord is real, to know that the Lord loves you. But when we get to critical thinking, we get to doubt. When we get to this mindset of a conflicted thoughts, well, I know this and I know this. I mean, when we begin to hear, well, you know, the Lord made the earth, and yet Darwin said that it was evolution, you know, of man, and yet the Lord says God made man, and so I'm conflicted. And there's this evidence and the evidence and the evidence, and well, I remember in school they had the evidence of the first man, and they found out that it was the jawbone of a donkey instead of a person, and had to take that out of my book the next year. So I guess the proof wasn't exactly proof. Did you know God's never had to take one word out of His Word because the proof was wrong? And so the Lord Jesus sat down with them, the ten, and went back through the scriptures and said, here's what it says in Micah. Where was I born? You were born in Bethlehem of Judea. I said that in Micah 5:2, 560 years ago. And who am I born from? Well, Joseph and Mary. And I told you that in Matthew chapter 1. And he goes back through the scriptures and he goes through the Psalms and he says, look, remember the way in Psalm 22 it said how I was going to die. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember, I was going to be thirsty. How did they die back then? Well, we stoned everybody. So do you understand that I tried to show you, I reminded you of the way I was going to die and that I was going to rise again the third day? Do you remember that? Do you remember seeing Lazarus come forth in great clothes? Yes. Do you think I could raise him up and couldn't raise myself? And all of a sudden the fog began to lift. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 47, and then in verse 46, and he said to them, thus it be as written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. Don't you remember? I had that. I taught you that. And folks, today, whenever the old devil comes in our society and says, you know, all the different things that are supposed to be changing. I mean, we're supposed to be changing the definition of a family, men with men and women with women, working that which is unseemly. And I want you to understand, you look at the scriptures and he clears it up. And so now the critical thinker says, well, what about this and what about my society? Forget society. Remember the scriptures. Remember what the Lord said and promised. Because one of these days, one second past death, we're going to step foot into heaven. We're going to say, he was right. Don't be a critical thinker and cause yourself to doubt. Don't be a confused thinker and cause yourself to be perplexed. Don't be a conflicted thinker where you've got two things that both seem to be true. Because when the Lord says something, it's clear. Now, Thomas, then you got a fourth thing, and that's without faith. Thomas says, I don't care anymore. I just don't believe. He was without persuasion. Pistos is to be persuaded. I am sure. He had without persuasion. Now, notice if you would, if you have your Bible, turn back to John chapter 20. I want you to see this, John chapter 20. And notice with me, if you would. Now keep in mind, we'll go back real quickly to Thomas. I want you to see this. Number one, Thomas was crippled spiritually. You can see that. He just couldn't believe. And not only that, when he got crippled, and this is what happens, he got backslidden. What happened to Peter when he, whenever he cursed and swore, you know, get closer to getting cursed and swear, where was he? He followed Jesus afar off. He allowed himself to think and get confused and say, I'm not going to be too close to Christ. I might get killed too. And so, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. And Jesus already told him. So he distanced himself from Christ. You know what Thomas does? He didn't even show up to church. He doesn't even show up. Notice in verse, this is John 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. You know, he was the only one. This is his only mistake in Scripture. He skipped church one Sunday night. Wow. And now he's doubting Thomas. Oh, there's more to it than that. So anytime you and I fall into without faith, it's going to affect our church attendance. It's going to affect our thinking. It's going to affect our joy. It's going to affect, we're going to be crippled spiritually. We're not going to be interested in praying much, or we're not going to have the confidence that the Lord's going to hear. But not just that, it causes us to just forget about what God says. We forget about the scriptures. And so Jesus had to remind them. Notice what he says. You'll see if you would. Look if you would in verse number 26. This is John 10:26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. So now Thomas has come. And I'm thinking about, you know, how did Thomas get there then? Well, I think there were some disciples that said, Thomas, you got to come back. You got to come back with us. And folks, we got a lot of people. Now there's some people that are legitimately trying to be safe, and so they're not here today. But I'm worried about those people that have begun confused thinking, or they've gotten to be a critical thinker. Well, I can just watch church from home. I don't have to come back to church. It was the Lord that says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Do you think God's surprised by live streaming? I don't think he's shocked about it at all. I think he knew it was coming. And he still said, the assembling of yourselves together. Assembling yourselves together is here. And why is that? Because of the encouragement. Because of the singing, because of what we all need to clear up our thinking, to encourage one another and to love and good works. That's what he's saying. Well, you know, here Peter's not there. I mean, Thomas is not there. So now he shows up, and I think it was after much encouragement from his friends, the 10 disciples. Notice this in verse number 26, Jesus says, peace be unto you. And I want you to notice one other thing. Jesus knows every time we take a step back. He knows where we are, and he knows every time we take a step back. There's 10 in the room. Now there's 11 in the room. Of course, Judas is already dead. He's already committed suicide. So notice, if you would, in verse number 27, he says, peace be to you. And what's the next thing he says? Who's the next person he talks to? Then saith he to Thomas. You know, this tells me, I know that Thomas is crippled. I know he's backslidden. I know that he's struggling in his heart and soul. I know he's lost his dreams. I mean, his whole life is wrecked. Now, he had friends that tried to encourage him to come back to the Lord. And that's why local church is so important. Friends, encourage people to come. You see somebody out here, encourage them to come. They're being safe. Great. Not a problem there. But I know the old devil has sometimes we just sort of slip away. Peter slipped away that first Sunday night when Jesus came. Now then notice, if you would, Jesus not only says, Thomas, I think we have to look at it and notice the second thing is that Thomas was crippled, but Jesus was concerned. And he was caring. And he looks at Thomas square in the eye and says, Thomas, here's my hands. Look at what he says. Now remember, look at the wording. Verse 25. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails. I want to feel it and touch it. I don't even trust my eyes. I want to feel that indent in his hand. I want to thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. I will not be persuaded. I will not get tricked again. That's what he's saying. And the old devil is behind all those thoughts. Have you been a little deceived? Have you been taught the wrong things? That's the reason the Lord Jesus opened up the first chance he got and reminded them of all the scriptures. And you remember, it was Psalms. That's prophecy. He went back and showed them all the proofs that he was God. And all the proofs that he was coming. And all the proofs of where he was to be born. Things that could not be faked. And they all relaxed and said, Thomas, you got to come. Jesus is alive. He's real. He came to us. And he said, unless I can put my finger in the print of the nails, I will not believe. So he had not only gone from a confused and critical and a challenged thinker, he had all gone over here where he says, I don't believe anything anymore. Now, folks, you and I have to be careful in an environment like we are, where there's so much turmoil, not to get pushed off your anchor, not to get pushed off your moorings. The foundation for your soul. Because I want you to understand today that Thomas had that happen to him. And Jesus cares about that. Jesus cares about you. If you're facing some life decisions and it's really caused you to doubt, does the Lord really love me? Is the Lord going to take care of me? I want you to understand today that God does care. He is concerned and he is compassionate towards you. And you'll notice he looks at Peter. It looks at Thomas. Look at verse 27. And I love this. Then saith he to Thomas, he knew what Thomas said, but he was very gracious to him. He didn't say, hey, Thomas, did you really say you would not believe unless you touch my hands? Jesus didn't do that. Thomas, did you really say, pound the pulpit, I will not believe? Look at the words. Look in verse 25. I will not believe. Did you really say that? The Lord doesn't do that. He simply looks at him and notice what he says. Look at his word choice. Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Hey, see my hands, behold, and reach hither your finger and touch it. It's a real hole. You saw the nail that put it in my hand. Oh, and then he pulls back his cloak and notice this. And he uses the exact same word. And thrust your hand, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Push it into my side and feel where that spear went in. Come here, Thomas. And Thomas doesn't have to touch him or thrust his hand in his side. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God, I am persuaded. And that's what I want you to have today. I want you to know that your God is real. I want you to know that this book is real. That what God has said to you and I is real. And that one of these days, He is coming back to get us. By the way, did you know John chapter 14? If you have your Bible, turn to John 14. I want you to see this. Look at John chapter 14 and verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me and my Father's house. They're troubled. What's the future hold? And maybe you and I are a little troubled. Well, you're going to see, notice if you would, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that comforting? The Lord says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And notice in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. In the Philippines years ago, General MacArthur had to leave the battle there. But he gave out some candy bars and said, I will return on it to some of the Filipino people on the island. And he had those people take that candy. And when he came back and the American troops came back and delivered the Philippines from the Japanese, the battle was won. And he stepped back on and had some of those people bring up those candy bars where it said, I will return. We knew you would keep your word. Jesus said, I will come again. And notice this. He says this, and receive you unto myself. The purpose for his coming is to get us. To say, I want you with me. I love you. And I want to encourage you today that God loves you. And He wants you to live with Him for all eternity. And He's prepared a home in heaven for you. And yet the old devil sometimes sits on our shoulder and says, are you sure? Look where that comes from. Verse 4. And whither I go? The way you know. What is the way? I am. Put your faith and trust in me. And notice, I said one thing. Really, there's two things about Thomas, but I wanted to wait till this one. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Thomas was a critical thinker. We don't know exactly where heaven is. We don't know exactly where you're going, Lord. We don't know how to get out off this earth into heaven. We don't know how to do that. And Jesus looked at him and made the iconic statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It was Thomas's doubtful question that caused the Lord Jesus to say, I am the way. And so today, I want to encourage you, let's not be like Thomas to where we begin to get critical thinking and we begin to get confused thinking and we begin to get this conflicted thinking and it gets us to the point where we lose our faith and we begin to say, oh no, and our prayers are weak. If you have your Bible, turn me if you would. I want you to notice this verse. Turn me if you would to Matthew. To Luke. It's Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Now notice with me if you would. This is Matthew 14. It's the story of the storm and Jesus walking on the water. Verse 29, and he said, come. This is Jesus speaking to Peter. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I would remind you that Jesus is the only person to ever walk on water. But he did. But he took his eyes off the Lord. And when we take our eyes off the Lord, we can lose that pistos. We can lose that persuasion that our God is real because of the circumstances. That's exactly what happened. Verse 30, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. What causes fear? If you would remember back, the reason the disciples, the 10 disciples and the 11 were huddled up in that house with the door closed is the Bible says in that passage, we didn't read it, it says, for fear of the authorities. So fear can cause us to lose our faith. Well, notice if you would, in verse number 30, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. So fear of anything, fear of losing your job, fear of losing your health, fear of losing a friend can cause you to lose your persuasion that the God of heaven loves you and cares for you. Be careful of fear. It'll cause you to critically think or to conflicting think, or it'll cause your confusion in your thoughts. And so notice if you would, in verse number 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. And immediately, I want you to see the response of the Lord. Now keep in mind, Peter had just jumped out of the boat and Jesus was way over here. And Jesus said, okay, come. So Peter gets out of the water, out of the boat, and he's actually walking on the water. And he gets a little too confident, starts looking around, takes his eyes off the Lord and says, oh my. I'm not supposed to be doing this. He starts thinking critically. No one has ever walked on water. I can't either. But Jesus said, but that doesn't matter. I can't walk on water. And so I can't walk on water. And besides that, look at the wind and the water. They're going crazy. I'm going to die. Everybody dies that gets out of a boat in the middle of a storm. So forget what Jesus says. I'm going to start being afraid. And he starts to sink. So let's learn the lesson. When Jesus says something, believe it. Trust it. It removes fear. But if you take your eyes off the Lord and you begin to look at the circumstances, well, I'll never get another job. There's 30 million people don't have a job. The Lord says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So you and I have to learn, are we going to trust him or are we not? Well, he begins to fall, and he has no other choice. And I think sometimes the Lord has to get us to the point where we have no other choice but to look up, and then he comes rushing to our rescue. And I love this. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. You know what that caught him tells me? He was going down. I don't know if he's waist deep. I would imagine he's neck deep with his hand up. And Jesus caught him. Notice, if you would, in verse 31, and he said unto him, O thou, here it is, of little faith. You know what he's saying? You're not persuaded. You were persuaded to get out of the boat, and all I said was come. But you took your eyes off of me, and you began to look at the wind and the water, and you began to think back. No one's ever walked on water before. How am I doing it? I can't do it. I know Jesus said come, but I know what the facts are. And he starts to sink. And when you and I look at it and say, how can I speak to someone that I've never seen? I can't talk to. I have no proof. I can't put my finger in his print of his nails. How can I talk to him and answer my prayers? And the Lord said, it takes a little faith. And Peter said, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and Jesus said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know what he's saying? This is the one where you doubted. You thought through it. You outthought yourself, Peter. Don't outthink yourself. Trust. The Lord will not fail you. The Lord says, a little faith. Now, keep in mind, notice the wording. He says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, O thou little faith. Now flip your Bible over just one more page. And I want you to see what great faith can do. Verse 21. Then Jesus went this and departed on the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Cana came out the same coast and cried unto him and said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. You know what? She's desperate. She needs help. And I think we need to be desperate, and it's easy to be persuaded when you're desperate. Because you don't think critically when you're desperate. You think trustingly when you're desperate. I don't know how many times you think how easy it is to remove a leg. But when I saw Susan I remember I'd been to the doctor on Friday, and on Saturday she slept 23 of 24 hours. And I remember calling the doctor and say, something is wrong. And I called a different doctor and I said, you've got to help me. Something is wrong. I said, my wife slept 23 of 24 hours. Something is wrong. She said, bring her in. And so I picked her up and got her in the car and took her in. And she does one blood test. I don't know why nobody else did it. She does one blood test and said, oh my, she's septic. She's dying. Get her to the hospital. And the doctor walked in. He said, look, I don't know what I'm going to find. He said, but there's infection somewhere in her body. I think it's in her leg. And I think it's in her foot. And I may have to take off her foot. And I never thought one time, oh, really? Because I was worried, save her life. He said, I may have to take off her leg. I may have to take off her leg here. It wasn't like I sat down and I said, well, look, if you do that, then she can't walk or she couldn't get a prosthetic. I had none of those thoughts. I was desperate to save my wife's life. And I said, do whatever you have to do. How many of you have done the same thing? Peter, Lord, save me. Do whatever you have to do. And the Lord immediately caught him by the hand. Today, we just need to learn to trust the Lord. Not be like Thomas. Unless I can put my finger in the print of his nail, I will not believe. We've got the same proofs that Jesus gave to them. The Psalms and the prophets. It's real. If they looked at it, what convinced them? He convinced them with Scripture. He convinced them who he was with Scripture. He went back, even though he said, put your finger in the nail of my hand. That was not the convincing factor. We might think so, but the Scriptures were. And I want to encourage you today. We have all that we need. If you have your Bible, you'll notice if you would. Take with, if you would, and turn your Bible. I want you to see, if you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. Notice with me, if you would, we've already sort of read this once, but I want to take your thoughts here so that you know, and you can see it here. Now notice this, if you would. Now look down, verse number 44. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled, were written the law of Moses. That's the first five books, the Pentateuch, and the prophets. That's Jeremiah, Isaiah. Notice, if you would, in the Psalms concerning me. Then open he their understanding that may understand the Scriptures. And notice, if you would, in verse number 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You've got a job to do, guys, and you are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of the fulfillment of Scripture. Will you believe? Today, let me ask this question. Will you believe? Will you take the Lord at His word? Will you believe? And then notice, lastly, I want you to see this. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew 6. We'll close. Matthew 6. Remember the word? Faith and doubt. Faith and doubt. Little faith, doubt. I love little faith. It doesn't take much, but it can really ruin you if you've only got a little faith. The Lord wants us to have great faith. Okay, now watch. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? And it gives an example. He's the fowls of the air. They don't worry. And I take care of them. Verse 28. Why take ye thought for raiment? And then he gives another example. Consider the lilies of the field. In verse number 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, ye of little faith. You know where this faith comes down to? Comes down to the daily living. Well, I need to get another pair of shoes. I wonder where the money's coming from. Well, I need to get another dress. I need to get another suit. I need to get a little better job. I need to get another car. I need to get this fixed in the house. And we have a little faith. Notice what he says, verse 33, the solution. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put Him first. You know what Jesus was saying in that little story of Jesus, of Peter walking on the water? Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. Today, don't take your eyes off the Lord. Don't take your eyes off of Him. Because if you do, you'll start to sink. Your faith will lose its persuasion. And that's what happened to Thomas. Don't lose your persuasion, because the Lord says, I am the way. Here's the proof. But here's greater proof. If you remember, there were two walking on the road to Emmaus. They were sad. And they had seen Jesus die. And their lives were in turmoil, just like Thomas. And they were walking together, and Jesus walks up beside them. And he says, why are y'all so sad? They said, don't you know? Jesus, the one we trusted was to be the new king of Israel, died. They killed him. Does anybody know how he helped them? He opened up the Scriptures and he went through and explained the Scriptures, the Old Testament, the prophets, the Psalms. And they said, when Jesus disappeared, when they said, it's Jesus, when he disappeared, they said, did not our heart burn within us? Has your heart burned with persuasion? Is your faith a little bit? Well, you go back to that Syrophoenician woman. She's got a desperate daughter. Her daughter's dying. And she walks up to Jesus and says, oh, Jesus, would you heal my daughter? And he says, look, he said, I didn't come to the Gentiles. I came to my people, the Jews. And she said, oh, Lord, please. And he said to her this. He said, why would I give, you know, my food to the dogs? I don't do that. Now, he wasn't trying to belittle her. He was testing her faith. And she said, Lord, even the dogs eat of the crumbs of the table. Couldn't I just have a crumb? And he says, because of your great faith, the daughter walked. Folks, today, believe. Believe. Trust the Lord. You're facing something difficult. Trust Him. He will not fail you. If you push it, you'll say, put your fingers in my hands. But He says, I want you to believe. I want you to trust. Today, are you persuaded? You can be. Take a copy of the Scriptures and say, Lord, convince me. And He will. Let's bow our heads for prayer today. Are you walking in faith? Are you contented in your heart? Is there contentment in your heart about the things of daily life? Are you contented with work? Are you contented with home? Are you contented with your things? With your provision, remember the Lord said, but seek ye first and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, how much the Lord loves us today. He wants us to walk in complete faith. Today, don't let this COVID-19 in the world take away your faith. Don't let them cause you to doubt the Lord. Don't become a critical thinker or a conflicted thinker or a confused thinker. Be one that's assured of the power of your God. Lord Jesus, thank you today for your promises. Lord, thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, thank you today that you can do anything and that you'll always catch us before we sink if we just call out to you. Lord, speak to our hearts today. In your name we pray. Amen.